2 Samuel 24:24. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. That's all I'm going to read. Usually on the way home from service every Sunday afternoon, Michelle and I will talk about the service, and I'll tell her how sorry I done, and then she'll ask about Joe's Sunday school and about what we talked about, and I'll ask her about what they talked about in their class. And and as we were driving home last week, we were having that conversation, and she said that her and Tanya had told their class, and I appreciate the lessons that all of our Sunday schools teach. From the time they're children, from the time they're grown, we're still learning. But she said they went over and sort of talked about that if you want to be good at something, that it's going to hurt. What she meant by that was they've got cheerleaders in their class, and if you're going to be good at that, you're going to have some bruises along the way. And anything you set your mind to do, it's probably going to cost you. And I thought about that and thought about it all week, actually. And there's a lot of truth in that, too. You young men that play football, you're going to have some bruises and maybe some hurts along the way. But I thought about that all week. And I thought about this scripture. And I want to try to preach to you that it's going to cost you everything. And I hope you understand what I'm going to talk about once I'm finished with this. But there is a cost to serving the Lord. It will cost you everything. And you might say, well, it's not cost me anything. Let me be clear to you. Anything that you do in life that's worth doing, anything that you value, it's going to cost you. And I hope that you understand what I'm going to get at. But before I get into what happened in this chapter, you've got to go back 1,000 years approximately from this time. There was a man named Abraham. You're all familiar with Abraham. But there came a time that we did a lesson on Isaac a few weeks ago online. And if you saw that, you know where I'm going. But Abraham was given the task to take his only son that he loved and to sacrifice him on top of Mount Moriah as a burnt offering. And Abraham, he loved Isaac. And when God gave Abraham that command, I believe it broke his heart. But Abraham nevertheless trusted God to raise his son from the dead. And so on top of Mount Moriah they went. The wood that Isaac carried was going to be made into an altar, and it was going to be burnt. And he was there to be sacrificed. And you know that story, that God stopped him. But God told him, he said, Now, Abraham, I know that you love me because you were not going to withhold anything from me. And so in that moment in time, it was going to cost Abraham everything. It was going to cost him every bit of faith that he had. It was every promise that God had ever made Abraham was all tied up in Isaac. And so he trusted God enough that God was going to make good on his promise, and he would have raised Isaac up from the dead. But you see, it was going to cost him everything that he held dear in this life, but he gave it unto the Lord. And I said the other night that God never wanted Isaac, but he wanted Abraham. He wanted everything that Abraham had. And so when it comes to us today, he wants everything from you. If it's worth doing, I was raised as it's Mother's Day. I was raised by a good mother, and I was called by a good grandmother and a mother and a father. But anything you set your mind to do, you do it with everything you got, whether you're clocking in from 9 to 5 or whatever it is you're doing with your kids or your family. You put everything into it. If you can see the value in something, when you begin to put a value on something by what it's costing you. And I'm not just talking about finances, but that is a part of it too. But this serving God is going to cost you everything. And I want to say that 1,000 years and These aren't exact dates, but I work better in even numbers. And about 1,000 years from the time that Abraham had built that altar on top of Mount Moriah, we come to 2 Samuel chapter number 24. About 1,000 years had passed. And if you take 2 Samuel 24 and compare it with 1 Chronicles 21, you begin to see a story that takes form. And 1 Chronicles puts it like this, that Satan stood up against David to number Israel. So Satan stood as an adversary against King David. God in this chapter in Samuel, God was displeased with Israel over what Saul had done. But now David is on the throne, and so Satan stood as an adversary against David, and Satan told David to number Israel. Well, David was never to number Israel because it didn't matter how many that they were. It didn't matter that because their might and their power did not come by their numbers. It came from the power of God in heaven. But at any rate, David gave in to that temptation. David was a man after God's own heart, but David was not, and nobody is, a perfect man. So David yielded to that temptation, and he told his people to go number. I want you to get a count, take a census of the warriors and the fighting men that we have in this land. And Gad said unto David, don't do this. He begged him, David, don't do this. It doesn't matter how many we number. Please don't do this. But David was going to have his way, as kings oftentimes do. And so David forced Gad for 10 months to go from Dan to Beersheba. He forced Gad to go and take a census of their fighting men. And when 10 months was passed, all of a sudden he could have stopped it at any time. But after 10 months and Gad came back with a report, the scripture says that David was smote in his heart. He realized that what he had done was foolish. And he said unto the Lord, I've been foolish. Gad gave him the number, and it was over 1,000,000. And he said, Lord, I've been foolish. Please forgive your servant of this wickedness and foolishness that I've done. Can I just pause right there and say that sin also has a price with it? There is a cost attached to sin. When Jonah went down and fled from the presence of the Lord, the scripture says he paid the fare and he went the way unto Joppa. But he paid a fare. There is a price. There is a consequence. We live in a culture today, at least in America, where people are protected from the consequences of their own choices. And I'm not going to get into details, but you understand that we've almost made a safety net or a bubble around those who live immoral lives, and they act in immorality. And I'm just going to be blunt. They sin against heaven, and they sin against God, and they never feel the consequence of their actions and the consequence of their choice. But with God, in His judgment, there is a consequence to your choice. So even though David was sorry, even though God did forgive David, there was still a price that had to be paid because of what David had done. And so Gad came to David and he said, David, God has heard your prayer, but there is going to be a punishment. But God was merciful and he said, David, now I've never got to choose how God punishes me. But David had a choice, and it was multiple choice. He said, for 7 years, there will be a famine throughout all the land. From Dan to Beersheba, for 7 years, a famine. And the next choice was, there will be 3 months that you flee before your enemies. For 3 months, you're going to run for your lives. And then the final choice was 3 days of severe pestilence all throughout the land. And that was a choice that David had to make. And David made probably the wisest choice. And David made one that exposed himself as well as it did the people. If he had chose the famine for 7 years, David would have been protected by those because he was wealthy and he had means. And it wouldn't have affected him as a personal matter. but he would have had to watch for 7 long years. He would have had to watch little children die in the streets of the city. He would have had to watch as men and women wasted away to nothing. He would have had to watch for 7 years. Could you imagine that? For 7 years watching those who served you as a king, and you watched them waste away for 7 long years. And so he said, no, I cannot do that. And the next choice for 3 months, you're going to flee before your enemies. David again would have been in a bubble, because he was the king. He had a king's guard. And so he couldn't bear to stand the thought of an enemy coming into his land and ravaging his people. He couldn't imagine seeing bodies in the streets of his city. He couldn't imagine little children being torn from their mother's womb. He couldn't imagine seeing little boys and little girls in blood-soaked clothes lying on the street. And so he said, I'm not going to choose that. The only choice that would have exposed David, it would have exposed all of the wealthy as well as all of the poor. He said, let us not fall into the hands of men. If it was a famine, the hands of men would have had to supply their need from neighboring countries. If it was a sword, the hands of men would be behind that. He said, let us now fall into the hands of God, because God might be merciful and men probably won't be, but God might be. And this also exposed him as well as anybody. The famine can reach the king's throne just as well as it can reach the shed in the poorest village. And so that's what he chose. And for 3 days, the scripture says that there was an angel that came down, and 70,000 people died in 3 days' time. Can you imagine that? We live in America, and we were ravaged as well as the rest of the world during COVID, but we had a population of over 300 million. Israel wasn't near that big. I mean, just a few million, 4, 5, 6, and 70,000 of those in 3 days, they died. In 3 days' time, the plague was so great. In 3 days, 70,000 lay dead. Now listen, don't you tell me that your sin is just your sin and it doesn't affect those around you. 70,000 died because David, one man's sin. 70,000 died. You might just think, I've heard people say, well, he's not hurt nobody but himself. That is a lie today, dear friend. The actions that you take, you might think, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. But you are hurting everybody around you by your choices when you make those choices. And so David washed, and he knew it was his fault. 70,000 men died. Now, what does this have to do with Abraham and Mount Moriah? Well, you see, 70,000 died, and the scripture says David was at Jerusalem, and he looked over at this man named Arada. Chronicles calls him Ornan. One was a Hebrew name, and one wasn't, but it was the same person. But he had a threshing floor, and this threshing floor was where? Threshing floor is a place in the scripture that symbolizes judgment. It's where men are judged, because it was at a threshing floor that the farmers would bring his crop and bring his wheat, and it would be a big concrete slab, and the oxen and the cattle would mash that wheat down and sort of separate the chaff from the grain, but it wouldn't get them all. And so they had a pitchfork, and they would throw that up in the air, and the wind would carry the bad away, and it would leave the good. And so the threshing floor in the scripture is a place of judgment, that there is coming a day that God is going to make a great separation from those who have been saved and those who are yet lost and in their sin. And it shows that there will be a separation. But David looked at this Arana's threshing floor, and he looked up in the sky, and the scripture says that he saw an angel there. That destroying angel that had destroyed 70,000. When he got over the city of Jerusalem, the scripture says God said, that's enough. That's it. stop what you're doing right there. And not everybody could see this angel, but David did, and Araunah did. And what David saw shook him to his core. He looked up in the sky, and the scripture declares that there was the angel of the host of God Almighty. And he had a sword unsheathed, stretched out over his beloved city, stretched out over Jerusalem, just waiting for the command from the Father to come, and Jerusalem was going to be laid waste. And the scripture said that Gad came to David, and he said, David, God, I want you to go to that threshing floor and offer up a sacrifice. And so David ran to Araunah the Jebusite. And Araunah saw him coming, and he went and bowed down his face to the ground, and he said, my king, what can I do for you? And he saw the angel too, and David said, I've got a sacrifice right here. Let me stop right there. There is a price that has to be paid for sin, and that price is blood. It is a blood sacrifice, and David was declared and commanded, blood has to be shed. I realize that 70,000 has died, but that's not ever going to stop. More are going to die except there be a blood offering. And where do you suppose this threshing floor was at? It was on Mount Moriah. It was the exact same place that 1,000 years before that God had stopped the angel's hand. And you remember what Abraham said? He said, the name of this place from now and forever, it's Jehovah Jireh. You know what that means? There's a couple of meanings, but the meaning that the scripture gives it in Genesis 22 is, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That's what the main name Jehovah Jireh meant according to the scripture. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. 1,000 years from that time, on the same spot of land, on the same Mount Moriah, there was this threshing floor. And David said, I've got to buy this from you. And Araunah said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm just going to give it to you. King, whatever that you need, you can just have it. I'll provide the threshing floor. I'll provide the oxen. I'll provide the cattle. I'll provide the sacrifice. I'll provide the altar. Anything that you need is yours. And you know what David said? He said, I can't do that. He said, I will not sacrifice anything unto the Lord that costs me nothing. I want you to get a hold of that today. This way of life, it's going to cost you everything. But preacher, salvation is free. Yes, it is. But it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your life. Why do I say that? Because to be willing to follow him, the old man must perish and he must die. Amen. So that the new man can be born again. Amen. From above. If you have a religion that you don't have a birth from, if you have a religion that the old man has not died. Now let me stop there. I don't want to confuse you. I'm a new creature. I was born again. The old me died at an altar one night, and I was born again. But I still have a dead carcass of flesh hanging on to my soul. As though I still, from time to time, get tripped up by the sins of the flesh. I'm not preaching that you must be perfect. I'm preaching that you must die and be born again. Amen. To newness of life. And so, this way, it's going to cost you everything. On Mother's Day, you realize today, getting up, getting your babies ready, it costs you time. If you're in the ministry, twice in my life, one several years ago and one not so long ago, just a year or so as a matter of fact, we've been 500 miles away from home, 500 miles, and there's a death, and then you've got to make a decision. Do I leave my wife here and go back and do the funeral and come back, or is she going to come with me? Are we going to just call it off? And so not that long ago, we were 500 miles away. We got to about
mile 490, got a phone call from the funeral home, had to turn, we slept and ate, turned around and came back home. I'm not saying that for pity. I love the people and I would do it every single time, but I'm saying to serve God, it's going to cost you things. And are you willing to pay that? Are you willing to put in the work? You want your children saved. Are you willing to pay the price? Now you're wanting this church to explode in revival. Are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to give everything? It's going to cost you something, nothing. If what you have and what you value doesn't cost nothing, I would say to you, what you have is worth nothing. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Salvation is absolutely a free gift. Come down from above. But in order to get that free gift, you must repent and you must die and be born again. Amen. There is a cost. And so David said, I will not sacrifice anything that doesn't personally cost me something. So the scripture says it gives one price in Samuel, it gives another price over in Chronicles. I believe the price, this is just my thinking, I don't know if it's right, things get mistranscribed. The word of God is perfect, written by men as the Holy Ghost appeared to them, but the translations are not always perfect. And so you have two different tallies, two different figures, two different monetary amounts. The way I can settle that in my mind, as weak as it is, I think the account in Samuel, he buys the actual threshing floor and he buys the oxen. But I think what you have in Chronicles, I think he pretty much buys the whole mountain. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. But he says, it's going to cost me something. I cannot serve God without paying that price. It's going to cost you everything. There are going to be times, mamas and daddies, your children are going to go to bed angry with you. They're going to go to bed with hurt feelings. They're going to go to bed so mad. They're going to go to bed weeping and crying because you forced them to go to revival instead of a ball game. Because you forced them. You are the parents, not them. They are your responsibility that God has granted to you, and it will cost you. It's going to cost you sleep. There are going to be times you try being a preacher and a pastor. There are times you're going to go through sleepless nights. You try being the wife of a pastor and they suffer just alongside of their helpmeet. You try doing that. There are going to be times in the service of God you will have to count the cost. Jesus even said that. He said, what man doesn't sit down and count the cost? If he has 10,000, can he meet somebody that's coming with 20,000? What man doesn't count the cost that starts to build a tower and he gets it half completed and then runs out of money? And Jesus told his church that. He said, you better count the cost of apostleship. You realize today, out of the 12 apostles, that only one died a natural death, and that man's name was John, but he only died a natural death because when they tried to boil him in oil, it failed. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you dearly. It's going to cost you great. But remember what I said at the beginning. The same thing they told those children last week. Anything that's worth doing and being good at, it's going to hurt. You're going to be bruised. You're going to be cut. You're going to have wounds. And some wounds you're never going to see coming. I've been wounded by people that I trusted. People that I loved. There is a price to this way. You can't just show up, expect God to move, and offer things to Him that doesn't cost you something. It is indeed not just money, but it's going to cost you something. I thought, but here's my point. It's worth whatever price that you pay. It's worth the cost. David sacrificed there, built an altar there, spilled blood there. And the scripture says, when he offered that unto God, you know what happened? Fire came down from heaven and just consumed it all. And that was God sending holy fire down, telling David, I have accepted this offering. It's all square. We're settled now. The account has been paid in full. There will be no more famine. There will be no more death. And you know what David said? He said, this spot here, David had been wanting to build a temple for quite some time. And Nathan had told David, you can't build a temple because you shed too much blood, but your son Solomon is going to build a temple. So I think that probably David had been searching for a place to build this temple. Where do you think he built it? Now remember, 1,000 years before, Abraham said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. On that same Mount Moriah, David just bought the whole mountain. And David said, this is the house of the Lord. And Solomon built his temple on that spot of ground. Isn't that an amazing thing? Fast forward 1,000 years from that point, and you find Jesus Christ crucified at Golgotha, at Calvary. You know where Golgotha and Calvary is? You guessed it. Mount Moriah. The very same place that Abraham gave everything that he had on top of the mountain. The very same place that David paid the price to stop the plague was the very same place that Jesus Christ stretched forth his hands and he died. On the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. He paid with his blood so that you can be free and saved. It cost him everything. When he died, when he said it is finished, he paid everything in that debt of blood, that debt that I owed. But shortly before he made that journey, about a week prior, the scripture says he was in a home of people that he loved. It was Lazarus and Mary and Martha. It being Mother's Day, I guess this is fitting. I don't know if Mary was a mother or not, but I do know that she loved the Lord. The scripture says she took heed for this. But as they sat down to the meal, the scripture declares that she went and got an alabaster box. That's not just any box. I believe this was probably handed down to her from generations gone by. Perhaps her mother gave it to her. I'm satisfied. I can't prove it, but I'm satisfied she probably did. I've been told and read in commentaries that what she held in that alabaster box cost about a year's salary. Could you imagine working for an entire year for something you could hold in your hand? But it was so precious. I believe, like I said, it was an heirloom. This isn't some kind of spikenard that you use every day of the week, but I believe it was reserved for the only purest special occasions. I would say Mary had probably gone years without opening that thing up. But I've been told and I've read and I've heard that spikenard in that place, in Jerusalem in that time, that it wasn't just some kind of fragrance, some kind of lotion you get from Bath and Body Works here, but after a few hours you can't smell it. That spikenard that she had was so potent, a little would go a long way. And I've read in different commentaries on this fact, and I heard a guy at the minister school talking about it, and boy, it stuck with me. He said that, and you brethren that have been over into that land, I've never been, but you might have experienced some of this, I don't know. But they say that you can rub that spikenard on you, and it just doesn't come off. I mean, days go by, and it's still there. In some cases, weeks go by, and it's still there. Now remember, it's going to cost you everything, but it's worth it, because David paid that price. You know what he did? He essentially laid the foundation for his son to build the temple where they would sacrifice for 1,000 years, or they would sacrifice till it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The price that David paid laid the foundation for generations to come. You listen to me on this Mother's Day. Mothers, I know it's hard, but what you're doing, that price that you're paying, that sleep that you're sacrificing, getting up and getting those children ready, bringing them to Sunday school, you are laying the foundation for the rest of their lives. And it's worth it. What you're doing is worth it. Hey, having them go to bed angry at you or mad at you or upset with you, I know how that grieves your heart. But it is worth it if you don't make this place important. They're not going to either. But if you show them that this is the best that you can do, if this is the offering that you can make, that it's worth every cost, then they're going to know that. They're going to grow up believing that. And when they get older with their children, you know what? They're going to do what Mama did. They're going to bring them back here. It's worth the price. Mary had this, and she had held on to it for all these years. All these years, wondering, maybe, am I ever going to have an occasion that's going to be worthy to break this out and put some on? I mean, day-to-day life, you wouldn't want to waste it. But all of a sudden, I believe the Spirit of God came upon her. And as Jesus Christ said in her home, that he was fixing to go into Jerusalem and be crucified. I don't know if she knew all of that. But you know what Jesus said? She took that alabaster box of ointment, that precious spikenard, and she opened it up and she began to anoint him. She anointed his body. I believe she anointed his head down to his feet. And so you might think, what a silly thing. If you think that, you wouldn't be wrong. A year's worth of wages and it's gone just like that. It said she broke it and she poured it out. I believe it was sealed up and she broke it and poured it out. And the apostles even said, why did she do this? She's wasted it. She would have been better off if she had just sold it and given the money to the poor. But you know what Jesus said? He said, hey, you leave her alone. She's done everything she could. And she's wrought a good work on me. She's done this for my burial. And he said 2,000 years ago, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the entire world, this that she's done shall also be told for a memorial of her. 2,000 years later, and I'm still talking about it today. She's lived on through that one little act. But why was it so important? Because just a few days later, now remember, that stuff doesn't wash off. I've been told and read that it just lingers, that it sort of gets in your skin. You ever had a smell that you couldn't get rid of? I've had bad smells working in bad places that no matter how hard you scrub and how many loads of laundry you do, that stench doesn't come off. This was altogether different. This was a smell. It was a savor that was so sweet. But why is that so important? Because in a few days, he was going to be in a dungeon. In a few days, he was going to be bound and spit upon and bloodied and beaten and ran with a crown of thorns and back tore open. But during that trial, I believe you know what he did when his disciples forsook him and fled, when no man would stay with him. You know, all he had to do was just breathe, and he would begin to smell that ointment. It stayed with him all the way to the cross. And so the price that she paid, that the disciples didn't understand, to him, maybe not to them, but to him, it was worth it. Because hanging on that cursed cross, suspended between the heaven and the earth, paying the sacrifice for my sins, he smelled that sweet savor. When everybody else fled and everybody was wagging their heads and the thief on the cross was wagging his head and Caiaphas was wagging his head and they crucified him, what she done for him, the price that she paid, that precious spikenard poured out upon him, it stayed with him all the way to the end. His dying breath, he just breathed that in. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. You listen to me. If it doesn't cost you anything, if you're able to go through your life and you say you're serving God, but you never, ever, ever have to make a sacrifice or a choice, if your religion doesn't cost you nothing, I would say it's worth nothing to you. But true, true salvation is going to cost you. He judges you by what you give. Did you know that? We're not all blessed with money. Not all blessed with the same amount of money. But he came upon a widow woman one time, casting two little mites into a treasury. And he said, she's given more than everybody else. He said, everybody else, they have so much abundance. They're not going to miss all the money they put. And they put great amounts in, but they didn't miss any of it because they were so wealthy. But you know what he said about this widow woman? He said everything she had, all of her living, it was just two little mites. It was just two little pennies, if you will. It was absolutely nothing, but it was everything she had. I'm not saying you need to give your entire paycheck, but I do think God requires you to give some of it. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing? You live 24 hours a day, you work 8, you sleep 8, that leaves 8. That's not much time for family time, not much time for entertainment. Will you sacrifice a little bit of that 8 hours, 1/3 of your life? That's all the time that you have that's really yours. And that's if you don't work any overtime. Between eating, between sleeping and working, 2/3 of your life is gone. If you live to 100 years old, 66 years, I guess it'd be eating and sleeping and working. So you don't have much time when you get down to it. Out of 100 years, you got 30. And that's if you live to 100. Will you take part of that 30? Will you take part of that 8 hours a day and just begin to open up his book? Begin to do the things. I know your time includes coming to the house of God. Are you sacrificing that? Are you willing to take your kids? I know there are other things you could do on Mother's Day, but you came here, and I'm glad that you did. It's going to cost you things. It's going to cost you divisions. It's going to cost sometimes your job. You're living in a culture, unfortunately, that wants to be so woke, ideology. You're living in a culture that if you take a stand on what God says and what the Bible says, in a few weeks you're going to be saturated in this country with Pride Month from June 1st to June 30th. It's going to be on your TV everywhere you turn. It's going to be in your department stores everywhere you shop. And if you dare take a stand, it could cost you your job. Are you willing to take a stand? I'm not saying quit your job. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying just, are you willing? I'm not saying God's even going to require you, but are you willing? Abraham was. Abraham gave his son, he paid, gave everything. 1,000 years later on that same spot of ground, David paid the price to stop the plague. He paid it in blood. About 1,000 years from that, Jesus Christ paid the price. Everything. David said, I will not offer unto the Lord a sacrifice that cost me nothing. So I would ask you today, is your service for the Lord costing you anything? Some people have to pay a greater cost than others. I don't understand why, but that's the path that God has provided. David paid greater. Mary paid greater. Jesus far paid greater. Abraham paid greater. He might not ask that much of you, but whatever you ask, are you willing? Are you willing? It's going to cost you everything. But if it doesn't cost anything, it's probably not worth anything. And that goes in every aspect of life. To be good at your job, you got to be dedicated. To be a good parent, you got to be dedicated. To be a good husband, you got to be dedicated. To be a good wife, you got to be dedicated. To be good children, you must obey your parents in the Lord, for that's right. It's going to cost you something. If you live out the principles and doctrines of this book, if you live out the doctrines of that covenant, if you live out the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not always going to be easy. But I'll say it one more time. It's going to be worth it. Because at that threshing floor, remember the threshing floor that David bought? Jesus himself likened judgment unto a threshing floor. And he said, there's coming a day, a separation's going to be made. You're either going to be swept away by the sins of wind, by the winds of sin, rather, and you're going to be cast out into hell fire, or you're going to be found to be a worthy grain. There is a separation at a threshing floor coming. There is a price that must be paid. Salvation is free, but I promise you it's going to cost you something in your life. Will you pay that? I will not offer to the Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing. It's going to cost you everything. That's all I've got. Come ahead with a song, brother. Thank you for listening.